For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, March the 29th, 1986. Passover weekend, teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris is the teacher of the morning.
Heavenly Father, right now I take the opportunity, this opportunity, O Lord, to invoke choice blessings from heaven for this people that are under the sound of our voice this morning. I pray that you would open our spirits, O Lord, to receive that is spiritual. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord, that you would have us to say only that you'd have us to say. Do only that you'd have us to do, O Lord. And if we say anything in folly or a moment of carelessness, O Lord, that's not ordained of thee, I pray that it will be erased from the minds of the hearers immediately after hearing it. But I pray, O Lord, everything that will be profitable to let us run the race with patience will be retained in our memory, in our minds, and our spirits and hearts forever. My, from here until then, O Lord, great God, let us to know what the what a solemn situation, Lord, that we've been placed in here in the last days. Oh, for we are the people upon whom the ends of the age has come. Hallelujah. And we love you, Lord Jesus. We praise you this day, Lord. There are many things that I should like to teach, many things I should like to say, and I know that time will not permit me to say all of those things. I pray that we'll only say those that would be most profitable. We pray in Jesus' name to the glory of God. Hallelujah. It seems that when I get alone and in meditation, I often hear again the words of the Apostle Paul echoing off the walls of time. Son Timothy, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. God knoweth them that are His. Hallelujah. But know that God hath set apart them that are godly for Himself. The Lord will hear me when I cry. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. But there be those that say, who shall show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us, for thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the times when their corn and their wine were increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only causeth me to dwell in safety. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I would call Kevin up, if you will. Kevin, come up. Would you come up here, please? Yes. Uh-huh. I understand that this is Kevin's birthday. And he's just a young man. Praise the Lord. I don't know if he wants us to tell how old he is or not. But he's been with the Millers for a number of years, about almost half his life. And I prophesied to you before. I don't remember what I told you, but I bet you do. When I have prophesied to you before, Kevin, have you? Has any of it come to pass, or is it in the process? Come, can you tell anything happened? Yeah, you don't know. Well, you're going to know, because praise the Lord. All right, praise the Lord. Just let me have your hand here. Hallelujah. I don't know this young man other than just I've seen him here, you know, since I've been coming to camp. And my spirit bears witness that we have a kindred spirit. Now, I was just wondering, as I take a reading off of your spirit, I was just wondering if it was first nature with you to be as... I'm wondering about... I know what you are now, and I was just wondering if it's always... if it's first nature with you to be as honest and sincere... and as diligent as I take the reading of your Spirit this morning. I just wonder if that's so. Was that a first nature with you? Have you always been that way? Or has it been a great change in your life?
Well, there's been a change.
Yeah. Well, I have an idea, though, that you have some basics here that goes back, way back. But let me just tell you what I see that I am aware of now. That in this man, he's a young man, not exceptionally young. You grow old fast in these days, you know, with all the things around us. But I see in him a spirit of honesty, integrity, solemnness, seriousness that is really unusual. As a matter of fact, my spirit, the way I read you off here this morning, I wouldn't be afraid to just trust you with anything. He is trustworthy. This is what I read from you. And now, Kibben, the Spirit of the Lord would say unto thee, to be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. Yea, thou shalt reap in abundance, and not sparingly, saith the Lord, because you are sowing not sparingly. Yea, but thou art giving thyself even unto the work of the Lord. Yea, and thou dost do it with a joyful heart and with a good disposition, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, thou shalt not have to wait until a day far off and beyond to begin to reap from the labors of this harvest, but I shall give thee joy all along the way. Yea, I shall give unto thee a happy, yea, and a contented life, rightfully contented, oh, so saith the Lord, for yours has been an unusual existence in the kingdom of God. Yea, even without knowing anything about divine placement, even without being aware of divine order and divine government and these lofty things of God, even without having but very little knowledge of these, thou even hast been set in to the place that you are today, saith the Lord. It was not of your own choosing, but it is the direction of the Lord. Know that you have been divinely directed, yea, from your youth to now, saith the Lord. Yea, at some points of your life, you were unconditionally guided and directed by the Spirit of the Lord. But for many days now, months and even years, yea, the Lord, and in the future, the Lord will direct thee through divine guidance, yea, on condition. Yea, it will be conditioned upon your response to what the Lord doth say. But I know your heart, saith the Lord, and I know the mind that you will take. When I say, come, thou wilt say, here am I, Lord. Yea, and thou shalt do the work of the Lord diligently, and the Lord shall give thee a quick, yea, and a strong mind. Yea, and thou, because thou dost know how to yield and submit even the intellect to that which is righteous, that which is good, that which is honorable, saith the Lord thou God. Therefore the Lord can entrust unto thee a quickness of mind, yea, a sharpness of your intellect, yea, that you can work the books, computers, and do the things that will be progressive in the kingdom of God, yea, with very little effort, as thou doth move into it in the future, and even now, saith the Lord. But I tell you this, without wavering, saith the Lord, that if you would learn, yea, you are to seek me. Yea, seek me first, and the kingdom of God, and I, the Lord thou God, shall add every qualification to you that you will need to progressively produce the works of the Lord, saith the Lord. Yea, thou shalt learn things that thou dost not yet know. Yea, for thou shalt be directed, guided, and thou shalt develop even a more sensitive spirit, saith the Lord. Yea, and as time does come, your spirit will become more bold than it is now, saith the Lord thou God. And this shall be a slight gradual change that shall not be so noticeable unless you relapse time over several months or even years, saith the Lord thou God. But know that the hand of the Lord is on you, and He is directing you. And as surely as there is divine order and divine placement, I have placed you in the position that you now have, saith the Lord thou God. You may go in peace and rejoice, knowing that the hand of God is upon you. Yea, and the Lord is pleased with your life, yea, and with your manifestation, saith the Lord at this point. But I will work many things further into thee, but you will know, and you will be aware, yea, when that time comes. And prophets shall come, and they shall speak a word unto thee that will confirm this word, yea, and even go beyond this to enlighten your eyes of what doth the Lord hold for me tomorrow and next year. Yea, know that the Lord shall watch you closely all the way, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the lovely Lord. Praise the lovely Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, great God. Praise you, O Lord. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Oh, the beautiful scriptures come alive to us, don't they? Well, some years ago, I had a beautiful experience, and I was riding horseback in the pastures out on the, we had a, you know, farm ranch type thing, and we had springs of water, you know, it just boils up out of the ground back in the pastures, and the cattle drank from them. But over a period of time, they would the springs would fill up with sand, and you'd have to, you know, dip the sand out, and so the cattle could get their head. A cow has to get her nose down in the water 2 or 3 inches deep before she can drink. She can't just take it right out of a spoon. And I was cleaning out those springs in the pastures on this day. So you had to do this all, depending, but maybe 2 or 3 times a year. So we just kept some foot tubs down there. And, you know, sand is just old white sand like river sand. You could just take a foot tub and swoop it out of there, and, you know, and get out of the way. And then the water kept coming, and you could, you know, make it this deep. Make it as deep as you wanted to, but, you know, about this deep. So on this particular day, I had ridden up, and I just cleaned out one, come on down to the next one. And there was a big, this particular one had a hole of water when you got it, the sand out of it. It was this wide, it's from the edge here to over to the rock there, and just about this long. And so I thought, well, I got off my horse, and there was a nice a maple tree there. It made a beautiful shade, so I just laid down and leaned back against the maple tree, and was just, you know, kind of meditating on the Lord. And I seen there was tall grass, sage grass, out around that thing. And my attention was called to a little bit of rattling in the sage grass. And I looked, and I seen that sage grass, the top of it, wiggling like that. And it started way back there, as far as here at that door. I began to see it, and it was coming toward this water hole, whatever it was. And so I just waited to see what it was. And at the edge of the water hole, there was a big, flat sand rock, if you know what a sand rock is. And it was as wide as this platform and as long as the pool was here. And when this whatever it was that was making this noise finally came out, it was a big old water moccasin. And he come out across there. I seen him waving the weeds, and then I seen then he crawled out into the water, and it was full of the sand, like I was telling you. So he crawled out across there, and I watched him. And he was leaving a trail, a crooked trail, as he writhed his body across there. He was leaving a trail in that sand about half the depth of his body, and he was that big around. And I just laid there and watched him, and he came across that pool there, and when he got over to the rock, he just hoisted his head up and leaned over that rock and just slithered right up on that rock and just went on across the rock and off on the other side. And I just sat there and fascinated and let him go. And I noticed something. When he came on that rock, he had made a trail out across the weeds, and he made a big trail here in the sand, but when he came up on that rock, his body was so fashioned that I didn't see one drop of water. Now, you'd think if he just came out of the water, he'd get the rock wet, but he didn't. And when he leveled himself off on that plateau of rock, I didn't see one grain of sand. And I seemed to hear echoing through the top of the leaves there as my mind meditated, and I was brought to a scripture in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 18. And it goes like this, there are three things too wonderful for me. Yeah, even four, he says, the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a man with a maid, the way of a serpent on a rock, and the way of a ship in the sea. And all of these spoke of, well, if you see an eagle fly in the air, you can't tell, except that you see his head pointed one way, you can't tell where he come from. He doesn't leave a trail. When a ship at sea, well, immediately around him, but after he gets out there a little ways, you can't tell. There's no trail. And, of course, the man with the maid, the whole context was something that leaves no trail. And then the Spirit spoke to me and said, yes, when Adam, which is dust, made from the dust of the earth, when he had an encounter with the serpent, it marred him and all of his posterity to all generations. But when he encountered the rock, he didn't leave one scar on his character. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, when the serpent met Adam in the Garden of Eden, he marred his character for all creation, even his posterity today. But then he had an encounter with the last Adam, and the last Adam was a rock. And he didn't leave one sign on him that there had ever been an encounter. I'll tell you, he met the master of all creation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I thought, how beautiful the scriptures. I don't think that I finished cleaning out the spring. I just rejoiced in the presence of God and how great that He is. Praise the Lord. This morning, I'll just continue in the message that I had began yesterday on this teaching, if you will. You remember that yesterday morning I told you how God does when He's going to raise up a deliverer. And if you want to be deliverers that are going to come up on Mount Zion, well, you'll have to be processed in this order. When I speak of sonship, let me say I embrace all, everything. It takes everything to get you to sonship. It'll take a purification. If you don't believe the Zion Company is an exceptional group, let me just, before I get started here, call our attention to one scripture that will certainly enlighten us in the third chapter of Jeremiah, chapter 14 and 15. He says here, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion." I think that's a pretty exclusive group, wouldn't you say? He's going to take you one of a city and two of a family and bring you to Zion. Let me say that when I say Zion, I'm talking about the highest order in God. I'm talking about sons. I'm talking about the very elect. You see, there is an elect that is a general elect, and then there is a very elect. Jesus said, if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. It's not possible to deceive the very elect, but it might be possible to deceive the blanket elect. There is a very... Well, Jesus said it, and I don't want to get into an argument with Him over it, do you? Hallelujah. You know the Scripture? He said, if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. There is an... we are the come-outers. We are the come-out of the come-outers. Hallelujah. If you can understand that. I told you about the double weaning yesterday. You have to, if you're going to come here, you have to have a double weaning. Hallelujah. We are the come out of the come outers. We come out of denomination many years ago, and then what we came to tried to turn back to denomination, so we come out of that. Hallelujah. And we're not immune from coming out again if need be. Hallelujah. Amen. For we are headed for Zion. And it's one of a city and two of a family. And I thought, well, Lord, how can that be? A family, a city is bigger than a family. You're going to take one from a family and one from a city and two from a family? Well, hallelujah. And I don't know, but I've got an answer for that. Hallelujah. Two brothers or two sisters might live, one in Fort Worth and one in Dallas, and he takes both from one family and one from a city. You see, hallelujah. Well, I don't know. That sounds pretty exclusive, though, doesn't it? It's a pretty exclusive club. Hallelujah. Even if your cities are as small as mine, which is 1,000 population, and if your city is that small and he just takes one, just one that can come to Zion. I'll tell you what I'm teaching you. Amen. You're going to have to shape up. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, is it by works? Well, if you don't work, you won't get there. Hallelujah. It's by grace, but pray that God give you the grace to do the works. Save yourselves. Peter said, from this own toward generation. You know the trend is to get caught up in the mold of the world. If you let this world mold you, you will never come to Zion. You will never be the elect. You will never be completely delivered from all the things. No matter how many deliverance conventions you come to. No matter how many move of God. And I don't make really a differential here. I see it all. You see, somebody said, you're going to preach from the Old Testament? I am completely unprejudiced. I don't see an Old Testament and a new. The old is the new concealed, and the new is the old revealed. Hallelujah. And I'm headed for that one that is the everlasting gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. And if it and as I said, I am a come out of the come outers, and if I have to come out again, I won't hesitate to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. If they will not go to Zion. You know what would be one of the most desirable things to me that I can think of, one of the most pleasant things, if I could have a group of people about this size that doesn't know anything about God other than they've just, well, I'd like to have them with salvation, just saved by grace. Haven't been indoctrinated by anything. I'd like to just teach them the ways of Zion. I'd like to teach them line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there, until they not only had a blessed hope, but they knew the mechanics that brought them to that blessed hope, and could explain, could give an answer to every man that asketh, why do you have this hope? Hallelujah. We're going to have to do that. Because we're never going to have this ideal group that I was talking about, but we could take a group like this. No matter, our backgrounds are probably very varied, you see. But we just keep teaching sonship principles. Just keep teaching divine order, divine government, divine placement. Divine, everything divine. Everything that God does is divine. Hallelujah. Amen. It is not man's order, it is God's order. So we told you yesterday that Moses then was influenced by two women. Now, in order for God to use him as a deliverer, he's going to have to break the bonds of the of both. And so for that, he's going to teach him how to be a shepherd and to have a shepherd's heart. You see, Moses is torn between two loyalties. He would like to. He was the crown prince of Egypt. He's next in line for the top echelon through his mother that adopted him. Pharaoh's daughter. He would like that prestige, and he felt indebted to Pharaoh's daughter, who had been a mother to him. Undoubtedly, she had been a good mother to Moses, and yet there was that biological ties, the biological ties to his mother, who was an Hebrew, and so when he equated the whole thing, he chose rather to suffer the afflictions of God's people for a season, rather than to enjoy the wealth and the riches and prestige and honor of being the Pharaoh of Egypt.
It was a very wise choice, but I don't think it was a very easy one for him to come by. He felt certain loyalties toward each group. And I tell you, when I say that I would come out again, I didn't come out without scars when I came out the other time. I mean, hallelujah. Amen. And I'm not saying that it wasn't an easy thing to do. It was difficult. I had friends. I had loyalties. I felt certain loyalties to this group. But if they will not go on with God, my loyalty... I have to remember whose priest I am. Whose priest am I? Amen. Hallelujah. We are a kingdom of priests unto our God. Now, that's the only... I have to always remember whose priest I am. Well, if I forget whose priest I am, I'll become a priest for... you name the move, or you name the denomination. I can never become a priest for a denomination. Hallelujah. Or for any move that has driven its stakes down. Hallelujah. I have to keep my eyes on the cloud. Hallelujah. And when the cloud arises and the priest arise and grab their trumpets, lift them to their mouth, God is rising. Hallelujah. There is something within me, hallelujah, amen, that makes me knock the pole out from under my tent. Hallelujah. Begin to pull the stakes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to advance toward my blessed hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let all of them that hate Zion be confounded and turn back. Hallelujah. And let God's will be done in the earth, in this earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, but it's not easy. You make ties along the way that have to be broken if you would go with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it hurts the old man, doesn't it? All right, we showed you the strain that God was looking for when he sent a son of Levi to a daughter of Levi to take a wife. He's going to bring forth a thoroughbred. You see, that's how you get thoroughbred. You inbreed in stock. And that's how you get a third, not a full blood. You don't want a full blood. A full blood, nothing. He doesn't have durability. But thoroughbred. He may be mixed 16 ways, but what he's mixed with was full blood, so that makes him a thoroughbred, though he can be a quarter horse, you know, he's mixed several times. But you look, you reserve the good characters and breed away from the bad characters, you know. You talk about the sins of the fathers on the sons. Certain characteristics run through family lines. You've seen it. I've seen it. We've all seen it. What is this? Ah, it's a curse. Hallelujah. And that has never been broken properly. Hallelujah. All right, I got to read now. All right, so the first thing that you have to do is have the right birth. We established that, didn't we? But even with the right birth, you can still be disqualified. You see, in Leviticus chapter 21, and if you begin with verse 16, there are a lot of disqualifications here. Well, we'll turn over there. It's worth calling our attention to. I'm teaching, so I'll just call our attention to maybe a lot of Scripture. And when I feel like that I've talked about as long as you care to listen, well, I'll just stop. Hallelujah. I won't be through. And in the 16th verse, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying... Speak unto Aaron, saying, Whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. All right, now, he said, speak. Oh, you only have to give this to those that have the right lineage. They had to come from the loins of Aaron. That qualified them as far as the birth was concerned. If they're not born to Aaron and in his lineage, they cannot be priests anyhow. They could be Levites. There were priests and Levites, and there's a difference. All that come from Levi were Levites, except for the one tribe that comes down through Aaron's. Not exactly a tribe, but it was one son. And the priest would come down through the lineage of Aaron. If the priest could not trace his lineage back to Levi through Aaron, he was not a priest, you see. And our blessed high priest, if he could not trace his genealogy back through David, to Abraham, he could not be the high priest. Hallelujah. Also, Matthew, when he begins to write to us in his book, in the opening statement, he says that Jesus is the son of David. Is the son of David many generations removed. But, oh, I tell you, hallelujah, he's the Savior of the world. All right, he says, though he has the right birth, if he has any blemish, if he hath a blemish, he shall not approach. If he's blind, well, these, of course, when they wrote this, it was all natural. But I don't care about the natural, I only glean the spiritual. Blind means that he has no revelation. If a man doesn't have any revelation, he can't never get to Zion if he's blind. Oh, but in the 9th chapter of St. John reads like this, and as they passed by, Jesus passed by, they said, that's he and his disciples, they seen a man that was blind from his birth. Hallelujah. And the disciples looked at this pitiful character and said, Lord, who sinned, him or his fathers? He said, none. This is so that the glory of God can be manifested. Well, Jesus didn't mean that this man had never sinned. He didn't mean that his parents hadn't sinned. But he said this particular instance is so the glory of God can be manifested. Jesus was about to do something he had never done before. Or that is, it's not recorded that he had ever done it before. He had restored some blind people's sight, but this man was blind from his birth. Hallelujah. It takes different power to restore something that once worked than to take something that never worked and make it work. This is creative power, if you please. Hallelujah. Blind Bartimaeus, he restored his sight. Once he could see, but he had grown dull of seeing, and so Jesus restored it. But in this occasion, he is, I don't even know if this man had any eyeballs. I don't know what kind of shape he was in, but he was blind from his birth. He had never seen, so it takes creative power here. But why care about that? The great Creator is standing there, ready and willing, hallelujah, to manifest the glory of God. So he healed the man. Did you know that there are more incidents of Jesus healing the blind than any other symptom, any other disease, any other affliction? Now, he may have healed more lepers than he did blind men, but he healed 10 lepers at one time. I said, and I repeat, there are more incidents, separate incidents, where he healed the blind than any other affliction. And most of them, he healed them on a certain day, and who knows what that day was? The Sabbath, and who knows what that means? It means that who knows what the Sabbath is first? The Sabbath is the kingdom age, the millennial reign. And who knows what it means when Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath and so stated that he healed him on the Sabbath. It means that all blindness will be removed during the Sabbath day and that we will all have the revelation of God. Hallelujah. In the beginning was God. Go as far back as you can, and God is still in the past tense back there. In the beginning was God. Hallelujah. You can't get beyond God. A lot of people are trying, but you can't get beyond God. Hallelujah. Amen. And His Word will abide forever. And He's going to check it all out finally and come back and make sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed. And nothing will be left unfulfilled. That's our God. Oh, don't you want to be a son of God? Well, if he's lame, if he has a flat nose, that means... if he's lame, he doesn't walk right. If he has a flat nose, he doesn't have any discernment. And I don't want to teach on these. It's a good lesson for you, though. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to go right back to Exodus and pick up our son, the man, again, in the 3rd chapter. Now, after Moses has made his choice, actually his choice was kindly made for him as he hung between decisions there. He wanted to deliver Israel, but he had plans on how to do it. You remember he made a feeble attempt at relieving a little bit of pressure and got really in trouble. And he had to go. And then in the 3rd chapter, he comes over to this place and keeps a flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, who is a priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now on this day, well, if you're looking at your Bible, just look back up in a little way, see in the 21st verse that Moses was content to dwell with the man. Moses became content here in the desert. He's getting his double weaning, and he's also learning how to be a shepherd. And so on this day, he goes to the backside of the desert. Another translation says he went further than man had ever grazed his sheep before. If you want to get in this company, you have to be willing to go further than man has gone before. Hallelujah. You have to be willing to go further than you have been before. Then he goes to the mountain of God, which is Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside. All right? Here he is. He sees the bush that is burning. It's unusual because it just continues to burn, and it is never consumed. So Moses turns aside. God has got his attention now, and Moses has turned aside. That's what you have to do if you would come to Zion. If you would be one of these deliverers, you have to turn aside. Amen. You have to turn aside and leave many things that perhaps you have counted dear and near to you. But if you would go with God, you'll have to put him first in your life. Moses turned aside to see the great sight and why the bush was not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, now the Lord seen that he turned aside. When the Lord gets your attention, that's when he wants to speak to you. And he called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. That is the double calling. Two is the number of witness. Now he's getting ready. He's got his weaning. He's got his right birth. There are no blemishes. He's been weaned from the influence of his mother's. And so God calls him to be a witness. He has weaned now from his, you see. Oh, the destiny. Let me give you the destiny of the sons of God. Lest I forget it. Lest I fail to get there. You know what we're going to be doing 100 years from now? Hallelujah. Well, I can tell you what we're going to be doing. We're going to be eradicating the influence of the devil. And what are we going to be doing 300 years? We're still going to be doing the same thing. Hallelujah. You know, somebody said, well, I thought the devil was going to be bound. Well, we're right at the point of doing that now. It won't be long until he will be bound for 1,000 years. Well, then somebody said, well, what about the kingdom age? I thought it was a perfect age. No, it is an age that is becoming perfect. Hallelujah. Under the administration of King Jesus and his many-membered body, we'll make it a perfect age. Yes. Hallelujah. What are we going to do? We're going to eradicate. If the devil's bound, isn't it over? No, not by a long shot. Hallelujah. His influence has penetrated the darkest crevices of all the universe. And it'll take almost 1,000 years to rid the universe of the influence of Satan. Hallelujah. Let me tell you that when you find the source, if you can go to the source this morning and find the source of the most troubling aspects in this world. How about dope? Any of you know any dope addicts? Yes, sure you do. Dope has took a great toll on last couple of generations, really. But if you could confiscate every milligram of dope that there is in the universe today, and if you could somehow destroy it, the problem wouldn't be over. Now, what would happen? All right, 75 years from now, indeed 100 years from now, this universe would still be suffering the effects that dope had before we bound it, confiscated it, and destroyed it. You want me to give you a crude example? All right, I will. I'd say that we could do it today. We had it all confiscated and we're going to destroy it. But here, out here is a girl 16 years old that is 3 months pregnant. I told you it would be crude. And she has blowed her mind on coke or some means of dope. All right, we bind the dope today. We destroy every milligram of it. But 6 months from now, there's a baby born. Oh, there's not just one girl that way out there. There are thousands of them out there that way. There'd be thousands of babies born 6 months from now that would have brain damage. And 75 years from now, that baby that's born 6 months from now might be in an insane institution batting his heads against the bars and screaming for what he knows not and wouldn't be able to tell you his name. And this would be the effect of that dope that we destroyed 75 years ago. Suppose that he wasn't quite this cracked up. He was just had the damage of it, and he passes that same brain damage on to his posterity. Then hurl it out there another 75 years, and we're 150 years beyond the day that we destroyed the source. And the effects of it are still with us. I'll tell you, when I see how big the task is, it makes me know why he's screening the sun so close. Hallelujah. Oh, he's screening us close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of a city and two of a family. That's why all the deliverance. I'll tell you, you've got to get rid of every last hope that he has on you. Give the devil no place. Hallelujah. Amen. Every characteristic that he finds an entrance into your man, he'll tie up that area. Hallelujah. And until that's cleansed, purified, you cannot pass the final screening. Hallelujah. To be one of those that will eradicate the world from the influence of Satan. Hallelujah. Oh, great day. Hallelujah. I see it. I almost feel my change coming. Hallelujah. Any time. Hallelujah. 144,000 will walk to Zion. Hallelujah, completely purified, completely screened. Hallelujah. And God will say of this group, hallelujah, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. This will be the beginning of the many-membered body of Christ. This will be a first fruits unto God. You know the law of the first fruits? Maybe I better share the law of the first fruits with you. We were cotton farmers. Any of you cotton farmers? Well, of course, wheat farmer or whatever, but I don't know much about wheat. I never grew any wheat, but I grew cotton. And in a cotton field, you can have a 100-acre field out there. And long about the latter part of August, you can look out across there, and every once in a while, you'll see a big old fluffy bowl of cotton. Anybody familiar with this procedure? All right. And then about as far from there as from here at the end of the building, you'll see another big old fluffy bowl of cotton. You know what that is? That's the first fruit. There's some of it that always has a faster growth than the other. So you go out there and look at this stalk that's got this big old fluffy bowl. Y'all grow cotton in Alabama, I know. Got this big old fluffy bowl of cotton on it, and that thing has 40 bows on it. Not unusual for them to have that many bows. Oh, let's get a big stalk. It's got 100 bows on it, but only one of them's ripe, open. The rest of them are green, and they've got them speckles on them, red specks, you know. If you know, y'all don't know cotton like I do. Hallelujah. Amen. If I had all of it at picked, it'd fill this whole building. I don't think I'm exaggerating. If I am, forgive me, Lord. Hallelujah. I picked a lot of it. All right. And what's happening here? All right, so you could go over that whole 100-acre field, and you could probably get 10 pounds of cotton. But if you'd come back 6 weeks later, you might could pick 100 bales of cotton off of it. You know, all right, but here, all right, so when the Bible mostly refers to wheat and barley, doesn't it? So when the wheat field gets almost ready, the priests come out every day and examine it. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for the first fruits. And when they decide that they've found some first fruits, you know what they do? They blow the trumpets again. Come up to the first fruits! Here they come. And so the priests go out in the field. Abreast, they line up abreast, go out in the field, pick the first fruits, and they show it to Israel. Here it is, Israel. They wave it before God. Somebody comes in and says, why do y'all wave? Y'all do this. We're doing the Lord a wave offering. And even if you don't know what you're doing, if you'll just begin to worship with us, and when you if you'll just kind of get lost in spirit and come to yourself, you'll be doing it too. And you know what you do? You're giving the Lord a wave offer and you don't even know it. Hallelujah. So they show it to Israel, and then what did they do? A very strange thing with it. They wave it to God. Here it is, Lord, the first fruit. And then what did they do with it? They scatter it. Oh, right along here. You better shout now. It may not get no better than this. They scatter it, and that signifies, you see, when they scattered it, can't be gathered up. They waved it before God. It became an offering to God and must never be controlled by man, scattered before God. And if that don't preach to you, I give up. Hallelujah. It must never be controlled by man. man cannot use the first fruit for himself. It is completely dedicated, submitted, and given over to God. It belongs to Him. You cannot take it back. That's First Fruits Company. Hallelujah. Well, what does that say to us? Oh, it says that if I'm going to be... You see the screening? It's getting narrow. Jesus said there's a gate that's wide, broad, and boy, the multitudes will find it. But He said there's another one. It's straight and it's narrow and just a few. Many will be seeking, He said, didn't He? Many will seek, but they won't find this gate. They can't stand the screening. You see, so here we are then. We're being screened. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. And we can never be motivated by man. You know, every once in a while I stop and take stock of my motivations. I like to see what's motivating me. Hallelujah. Amen. I do. I do that every once in a while because I get so busy that I'm kind of meeting myself coming back and going, and I wonder, what's motivating me?
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.